Sure do thank the Lord for his great and wonderful salvation. Like that last part of that song that says, take me, use me, Lord, I pray. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. When you lose yourself in the Lord, it's actually the greatest blessing you can have. But it does cut against the flesh, but we do thank the Lord for all that he is to us, and I am a happy child of God. I'm so thankful to get to serve him. So I'd like for us to think on this subject this morning. I've written on the board, what's in a name? And I'd like us to study a few names in the Old Testament. It seems like they really enjoyed naming their children over events that was happening in their lives. So we'd like to go through a few of those. Genesis, the 21st chapter. When Abraham had been promised a child, they wasn't sure what direction that would go. And they had thought, well, maybe if Sarah can't have one, then my handmaid, Hagar, can have one for the kingdom of God or for the inheritance to be brought to Abraham. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to give Sarah a child. And do you remember, Sarah laughed within herself. And then when someone said she laughed, she said, oh, I didn't laugh. But she did laugh within herself. But she had caught. And when this baby was born, she laughed again. Because how can you imagine being in your old age, knowing that I've never had a child? There is no way for me to have a child now. My husband's also able to have children with other women, but I'm not able to have one for him. I am now of old age. The youth, the ability for me is gone. And yet, Lord, you've given me a child that would bring laughter. And if, yes, it was a miracle. With God, all things are possible. So in the fourth verse, it says, no, in the sixth verse, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me, after Isaac was born. And Isaac means laughter. And so this child, no doubt, can you imagine? I know how special it is to watch little children grow up, and they start formulating their ideas and their thoughts, and they start talking, and they start enjoying their own ideas, and they want to tell you about things, and they want to show you things. And can you imagine the delight that this brought Abraham and Sarah, and how many times they did laugh at the little things that Isaac did, and the miracle that they felt in this child. So, you know, that happened over and over again. Genesis, the 32nd chapter, tells of another one that was named. Sometimes they were named in fun ways, but sometimes they had sober names. 32 and 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? This was Jacob, and if you remember, Jacob was born second after Esau. They were twins, but they named him Jacob, which means supplanter or devious one or deceiver. And Jacob struggled with that identity because, indeed, he had manipulated some things in the past. And he was guilty of that. And now he's standing before his brother, who he jilted, who he had done things to, and he's still struggling with this identity of who I am, because I was named deceiver, because evidently that's part of who I am. And he had to wrestle with the angel all night. And the angel asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, deceiver, manipulator, supplanter. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. And how beautiful that was that Jacob got that day a name change. He was ready for a name change. And you know, when he appeared before Esau, it was a different Jacob, because it was now Israel. It was a different man that presented himself before Esau. He didn't go to him with devious thoughts in mind, with manipulative thoughts in mind. He came with him with humility in mind. So that name changed, and wasn't that a beautiful thing? And how the Lord, when we come to the Lord and we have our names, and our names might be devious or manipulative or prideful or those things of depressed or whatever our name is, the Lord gives us a new name. And I'm thankful for that. But that's not really what this is about. I do want to present one more name, Genesis, the 35th chapter and the 18th verse. This is when Rachel finally got to have her beloved little Joseph, and then she was blessed with another baby. But in that labor, it said it was a hard labor, and that was a tragic thing, hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called this baby his name, Benoni, which means son of my sorrow, because she departed this life. I've given my life now for this baby. But his father called him Benjamin, and Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem, Ephrath. And I've thought about that. What a tragic moment that was when she realized that she was not going to survive this labor. But she had this baby, son of my sorrow. And that had to have had an effect on even his little life. And you know, we have different names, but we name in different ways now. But there's something else I want to talk about in a name. What's in a name? So I'd like for us to go to Philippians, the second chapter. And the 9th verse. Let's go up a little further. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." That's what I want to talk about. The name of Jesus. And what that means to us today. What's in that name? So let's go back to Matthew, the first chapter. This name was precluding his birth. Those that we named were after their births, you know. Jacob after he was born. Benoni, Benjamin after he was born. But this was a child. They knew there was going to be a child, and they said, he has a name already. He has a name given to him. And there's something special about that name. So I want us to think about that. The 20th verse of the first chapter of Matthew. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful name. What a wonderful name. We needed redemption. We needed a path between us and God. It had been blocked so long by our sins and by our inability, but we needed a Savior to clear that block for us so that we could have access to the God, that Father that loved us so much. There was just a block there, but Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that a glorious thought? It didn't say he'd save them in their sins. He said he'd save them from their sins. I'm so thankful for that. I appreciate that so much. Now, we find out that in that name, there was some power given. So I want us to go to that, just an example of that. Acts, the second chapter. Third chapter, I'm sorry. The first verse. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon John, said, Look on us. Fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. All in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. You're asking an alms. You're asking in your little cup. You're asking for something you've daily had to preserve your life, to make it possible for you to be able to eat. Don't know where he stayed. Don't know where he lived. But he had a tragic, pitiful life. And he was saying, I'm not even going to give you those things that you're used to receiving because I have something greater. In the name of Jesus. Do you know, in his name, there's always going to be something greater. I've thought about that. When we go to the world, when we go to our family, when we go to our friends, even when we come among each other as children of God, what are we coming in? Are we coming in our abilities, our personalities maybe? Are we coming in with silver and gold? Those things that we think that can help someone else. Or are we coming in the name of Jesus Christ? If we can truly learn how to lose ourselves and find ourselves in Christ, we can offer the greatest, most beneficial answer to the world's problems. To every problem that there is, the solution is Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that when we talk to the Lord in prayer, Dear Lord, we always end with, In Jesus' name, amen. Because what we're saying is, what we've asked for, Lord, or what we've thanked you for, we've wrapped it all around, we've wove all around it, and that ending stitch is in the name of Jesus, and that fastens it up. In the name of Jesus, things change. And I think if we can learn and understand the ability to actually present to the world the name of Jesus. Do you know, when you call yourself a Christian, you're saying, I'm Christ-like. You're supposed to be presenting Jesus. Painted all over my life. All over my thoughts, all over my lips, all over every action that I have, that it can be painted with Jesus' name. That there could be something there that the world says, there's something different here, you know. They have Jesus in their lives. I see Jesus in them. Do you know that's everything. It's everything. It gives us joy, but it's greatly beneficial to the world that lives around us too. There's also a sobering thought too, back to Philippians. I didn't read all of it, but Philippians, was in that second chapter. In that ninth verse, it says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name. Why? Why is Jesus above every name? Because he's able to save the people from their sins. He died on a cross. His name is above. I can't go in my name. I can't go in your name. That would mean nothing. But when we go in Jesus' name, we have access to the power that he has. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh my, that's an awesome thought, to think that every knee will bow, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. That's kind of hard to imagine, in it, because we have so many who put themselves as so much on a higher realm than Jesus. They don't think that he's anything. He's not worth anything to them. But you know, they'll bow. They'll confess. He may be Lord of their lives, but they'll confess he is Lord of all. But we want him to confess that he is Lord of my life. That he is, that his name means something to me. That in his name I can do all things. Do you remember when David came up against Goliath? He didn't even come up with, he told them of his experiences that he had had with the Lord, and said he's able to help me with the bear, and he's able to help me with the lion. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as they are. But that was the experience he had. When he presented himself to Goliath, he didn't say, I come to you in the name of my experiences. I come to you in what I have already experienced in the Lord. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but that's nothing compared to what I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Do you know? There's power in that. This is just a short message, but a reminder to us what we can access in him. Desire you pray for me.